cross and things, but now he could sing psalms and do anything. I told him that now he could see a thief and join hand in hand with him, but he could not preach Moses, nor the prophets, nor John, nor Christ, except he were in the same spirit that they were in. Margaret Fell had been absent in the daytime, and at night her children told her that Priest Lamput and I had disagreed, which somewhat troubled her, because she was in profession with him. But he hid his dirty actions from them. At night we had much reasoning, and I declared the truth to her and her family. The next day Lamput came again, and I had much discourse with him before Margaret Fell, who then clearly discerned the priest. A convincement of the Lord's truth came upon her and her family. Soon after, a day was to be observed for humiliation, and Margaret Fell asked me to go with her to the steeple house at Ulverstone, for she was not wholly come off of them. I replied, "I must do as I am ordered by the Lord." So I left her and walked into the fields, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Go to the steeple house after them." When I came, Lamput was sitting with his people, but his spirit was so foul, and the matter they sung so unsuitable to their states, that after they had done singing, I was moved of the Lord to speak to him and the people. The word of the Lord to them was, "He is not a Jew that is one outwardly, but he is a Jew that is one inwardly, whose praise is not of man, but of God." As the Lord opened further, I showed them that God was come to teach his people by his Spirit, and to bring them off from all their old ways, religions, churches, and worships. For all their religions, worships, and ways were but talking with other men's words. But they were out of the life and spirit which they were in, who gave them forth. Then cried out one called Justice Sowry, "Take him away." But Judge Fell's wife said to the officers, "Let him alone. Why may not he speak as well as any other?" Footnote 77. During the Commonwealth period, it was no violation of law or custom for a person in the congregation to stand up and speak or object after the minister had finished his sermon. In most cases where Fox spoke in the churches, he was exercising a right which was well established. Occasionally he interrupted, which was contrary to good order, but he justified it by an appeal to the call of the Spirit, which he could not resist. See Chapter 3. Justices of the peace had authority to forbid any person to speak. Lamput also, the priest, in deceit said, "Let him speak." So at length, when I had declared some time, Justice Sowry caused the constable to put me out, and then I spoke to the people in the graveyard. From thence I went into the island of Walney, and after the priest had done, I spoke to him, but he got away. Then I declared the truth to the people, but they were something rude. I went to speak with the priest at his house, but he would not be seen. The people said he went to hide himself in the haymow, and they looked for him there, but could not find him. Then they said he was gone to hide himself in the standing corn, but they could not find him there either. I went to James Lancaster's in the island, who was convinced, and from thence returned to Swarthmore, where the Lord's power seized upon Margaret Fell, her daughter Sarah, and several others. Then I went to Baycliffe, where Leonard Fell was convinced and became a minister of the everlasting gospel. Several others were convinced there and came into obedience to the truth. Here the people said they could not dispute and would fain have put some other to hold talk with me. But I bade them fear the Lord and not in a light way hold a talk of the Lord's words, but put the things in practice. Footnote 78. Most wholesome words these for that period of endless dispute when religion too often meant the acceptance of some verbal statement. I directed them to the divine light of Christ and his Spirit in their hearts, which would let them see all the evil thoughts, words, and actions that they had thought, spoken, and acted. by which light they might see their sin and also their Savior Christ Jesus to save them from their sins. This I told them was their first step to peace, even to stand still in the light that showed them their sin and transgressions, by which they might come to see they were in the fall of old Adam, in darkness and death, strangers to the covenant of promise, and without God in the world. And by the same light they might see Christ that died for them to be their Redeemer and Savior, and their way to God. Soon after Judge Fell being come home, Margaret Fell, his wife, sent to me, desiring me to return thither. And feeling freedom from the Lord so to do, I went back to Swarthmore. I found the priest and professors, and that envious Justice Sawry had much incensed Judge Fell and Captain Sands against the truth by their lies. But when I came to speak with him, I answered all his objections, and so thoroughly satisfied him by the scriptures that he was convinced in his judgment. He asked me if I was that George Fox of whom Justice Robinson spoke so much in commendation amongst many of the Parliament men. I told him I had been with Justice Robinson and with Justice Hotham in Yorkshire, who were very civil and loving to me, and that they were convinced in their judgment by the Spirit of God that the principle to which I bore testimony was the truth, and they saw over and beyond the priests of the nation, so that they and many others were now come to be wiser than their teachers. After we had discoursed some time together, Judge Fell himself was satisfied also, and came to see, by the openings of the Spirit of God in his heart, over all the priests and teachers of the world, and did not go to hear them for some years before he died. For he knew it was the truth that I declared, and that Christ was the teacher of his people and their Savior. He sometimes wished that I were a while with Judge Bradshaw to discourse with him. There came to Judge Fell's Captain Sands before mentioned, endeavoring to incense the judge against me, for he was an evil-minded man and full of envy against me, and yet he could speak high things and use the scripture words and say, "Behold, I make all things new." But I told him then he must have a new God, for his God was his belly. Besides him came also that envious justice, John Sawry. I told him his heart was rotten, and he was full of hypocrisy to the brim. Several other people also came, of whose states the Lord gave me a discerning, and I spoke to their conditions. Footnote 79. Speaking to their conditions means describing their inward state. While I was in those parts, Richard Farnsworth and James Naylor came to see me, and the family. And Judge Fell, being satisfied that it was the way of truth, notwithstanding all their opposition, suffered the meeting to be kept at his house. A great meeting was settled there in the Lord's power, which continued near 40 years, until the year 1690, when a new meeting house was erected near it. Footnote 80. Justice Fell never became an avowed friend. He, however, had much sympathy with the movement and used his influence and authority to protect the friends. He put no hindrance in the way of his wife, who did join them. Swarthmore Hill was always open to traveling ministers, and there is good reason to believe that substantial assistance went from Swarthmore Hall to those who were laboring throughout the kingdom. Margaret Fell was the great-granddaughter of Anne Askew, who was burned at the stake in 1545. Judge Fell was member for Parliament in 1645. This meeting house erected near Swarthmore Hall in 1690, the gift of George Fox, is still standing and contains many objects of interest. On the market day, I went to Lancaster and spoke through the market in the dreadful power of God, declaring the day of the Lord to the people and crying out against all their deceitful merchandise. I preached righteousness and truth unto them, which all should follow after, walk and live in, directing them how and where they might find and receive the Spirit of God to guide them thereunto. After I had cleared myself in the market, I went to my lodging, whither several people came, and many were convinced who have since stood faithful to the truth. The first day following, in the forenoon, I had a great meeting in the street at Lancaster, amongst the soldiers and people, to whom I declared the word of life and the everlasting truth. I opened unto them that all the traditions they had lived in, all their worships and religions, and the profession they made of the scriptures, were good for nothing while they lived out the life and power which those who were in who gave forth the scriptures. I directed them to the light of Christ, the heavenly man, and to the Spirit of God in their own hearts, that they might come to be acquainted with God and Christ, receive him for their teacher, and know his kingdom set up in them. In the afternoon I went to the steeple house at Lancaster and declared the truth to the priests and people, laying open before them the deceit they lived in, and directing them to the power and Spirit of God which they wanted. But they haled me out and stoned me along the street till I came to John Lawson's house. Another first day I went to a steeple house by the waterside, where one Whitehead was priest. To him and to the people I declared the truth and the dreadful power of God. There came a doctor so full of envy that he said he could find it in his heart to run me through with his rapier, though he were hanged for it the next day. Yet this man came afterwards to be convinced of the truth, so far as to be loving to friends. Some were convinced thereabouts who willingly sat down under the ministry of Christ, their teacher, and a meeting was settled there in the power of God, which has continued to this day. After this I returned into Westmoreland and spoke through Kendall on a market day. So dreadful was the power of God upon me that people flew like chaff before me into their houses. I warned them of the mighty day of the Lord and exhorted them to hearken to the voice of God in their own hearts, who was now come to teach his people himself. When some opposed, many others took my part. At last some fell to fighting about me, but I went and spoke to them, and they parted again. Several were convinced. After I had traveled up and down in those countries, and had had great meetings, I came to Swarthmore again. And when I had visited friends in those parts, I heard of a great meeting the priests were to have at Ulverstone on a lecture day. I went to it and into the steeple house in the dread and power of the Lord. When the priests had done, I spoke among them the word of the Lord, which was as a hammer and as a fire amongst them. And though Lampet, the priest of the place, had been at variance with most of the priests before, yet against the truth they all joined together. But the mighty power of the Lord was over all, and so wonderful was the appearance thereof, that Priest Bennett said the church shook, insomuch that he was afraid and trembled. And when he had spoken a few confused words, he hastened out for fear it should fall on his head. Many priests got together there, but they had no power as yet to persecute. When I had cleared my conscience toward them, I went up to Swarthmore again, whither came four or five of the priests. Coming to discourse, I asked them whether any one of them could say he had ever had the word of the Lord to go and speak to such or such a people. None of them durst say he had, but one of them burst out into a passion and said that he could speak his experiences as well as I. I told him experience was one thing, but to receive and go with a message and to have a word from the Lord, as the prophets and apostles had had and done, and as I had done to them, this was another thing. And therefore I put it to them again, can any of you say you have ever had a command or word from the Lord immediately at any time? But none of them could say so. Then I told them that the false prophets, the false apostles, and the Antichrist could use the words of the true prophets, the true apostles, and of Christ, and would speak of other men's experiences, though they themselves never knew or heard the voice of God or Christ, and that such as they might obtain the good words and experiences of others. This puzzled them much and laid them open. At another time, when I was discoursing with several priests at Judge Fell's house, and he was by, I asked them the same question. whether any of them had ever heard the voice of God or Christ, to bid him go to such and such a people to declare his word or message unto them. Anyone, I told them, that could but read might declare the experiences of the prophets and apostles which were recorded in the scriptures. Thereupon, Thomas Taylor, an ancient priest, did ingenuously confess before Judge Bell that he had never heard the voice of God nor of Christ to send him to any people, but that he spoke his experiences and the experiences of the saints in former ages, and that he preached. Footnote 81. This Thomas Taylor was educated at Oxford and was a man of profound insight. He became a valiant supporter of Fox and a convincing minister. This very much confirmed Judge Bell in the persuasion he had that the priests were wrong, for he had thought formerly, as the generality of people then did, that they were sent from God. Now began the priests to rage more and more, and as much as they could to stir up persecution. James Naylor and Francis Haugill were cast into prison in Appleby Jail at the instigation of the malicious priests, some of whom prophesied that within a month we should be all scattered again and come to nothing. But blessed forever be the worthy name of the Lord, his work went on and prospered. For about this time, John Audland, Francis Haugill, John Cam, Edward Burrow, Richard Hubert Thorne, Miles Hubbardstee, and Miles Hallhead, with several others, being endued with power from on high, came forth in the work of the ministry, and approved themselves faithful laborers therein, traveling up and down and preaching the gospel freely, by means whereof multitudes were convinced, and many effectually turned to the Lord. On a lecture day, I was moved to go to the Steeple House at Ulverstone, where were abundance of professors, priests, and people. I went near to Priest Lampet, who was blustering on in his preaching. After the Lord had opened my mouth to speak, John Sawry, the justice, came to me and said that if I would speak according to the scriptures, I should speak. I admired him for speaking so to me, and I told him I would speak according to the scriptures, and bring the scriptures to prove what I had to say, for I had something to speak to Lampet and to them. Then he said I should not speak, contradicting himself, for he had said just before that I should speak, if I would speak according to the scriptures. The people were quiet and heard me gladly, till this Justice Sawry, who was the first stirrer up of cruel persecution in the north, incensed them against me, and sent them on to hail, beat, and bruise me. But now on a sudden the people were in a rage and fell upon me in the Steeple House before his face, knocked me down, kicked me, and trampled upon me. So great was the uproar that some tumbled over their seats for fear. At last he came and took me from the people, led me out of the Steeple House, and put me into the hands of the constables and other officers, bidding them whip me and put me out of the town. They led me about a quarter of a mile, some taking hold by my collar, some by my arms and shoulders, and they shook and dragged me along. Many friendly people being come to the market and some to the Steeple House to hear me, divers of these they knocked down also, and broke their heads so that the blood ran down from several. And Judge Fell's son running after to see what they would do with me, they threw him into a ditch of water, some of them crying, "Knock the teeth out of his head." When they had haled me to the common moss side, a multitude following, the constables and other officers gave me some blows over my back with their willow rods, and thrust me among the rude